Someone that is in Toronto right now, Jake Eisenberg. We do have him now joining us on 96.5 The Fan. I was just saying, Jake, the Rogers Centre seems like a cool venue to me with the hotel attached, and when it's beautiful weather, they open that bad boy up.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hoping that that's the case tonight. I've only been here once before. I wasn't here for our series a couple of years ago, but when we were here last year, it was kind of rainy and cold the whole time. It was early May, I think, I want to say. And so I actually haven't seen the ballpark with the roof open. So I'm hoping that they have it opened up at some point this weekend.
Cody was assuming that you're sitting inside of a Canadian coffee shop right now as you talk to us.
I mean, honestly, he's super close. I was just at a Canadian coffee shop, and close. I will probably be at a different one not too long after we get off the phone. So, yeah, if you're looking for me pretty much anywhere we go, it's some coffee shop near our hotel.
I might have caught him in the in-between, but I'm still pretty close on the accuracy. Before we talk about the guys that actually got added to the roster, what it means for this team's hope for the playoffs this year, next year, etc., I know you and many people who work at the Royals are a big fan of Freddie Fermin. So watching him leave as a part of these trades is very difficult. Explain, I guess, why people love Freddie so much, but I also think you understand why the Royals made this kind of move.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those incredibly bittersweet things, and the bitter part is that you don't get to see a great person every single day anymore because he's now in San Diego. And the sweet part is that, now Freddie Fermin is going to have a chance to be a relatively everyday major league catcher, which we've certainly come to know in Kansas City that he's definitely capable of, especially defensively. I mean, he was a Gold Glove finalist last year, but truly, and like I've gotten to know Freddie over the last half decade now, since he made his AAA debut with Omaha in 2021, and he has always been what everybody in Kansas City has come to know him as, which is one of the hardest workers that you will find in baseball and one of the most genuine people that you will find in baseball. I mean, we're talking when it comes to hard work, not just on the baseball side, but he was the first winner of the Carlos Fortuna Award, which was established as an award given to the person in the Royals organization that works hardest at improving their English while in the minor leagues. And Freddie was the first one to earn that award, and he is still working tirelessly on his English, which has been, tremendous. And so I think that speaks volumes about the kind of person that Freddie is. And I shared this the other day that he's had an impact on this organization that I think goes far beyond what people realize. It's not just what he's done at the major league level since, coming up in 2022 and then, for better, more for good since the 2023-2024 season. Freddie, as that Carlos Fortuna Award winner, as someone that's played at every level of the minor leagues, as someone that did not have a big signing bonus and was never a highly touted prospect. I mean, here's somebody who showed up in the Dominican Republic, really as a favor to the Mets when his younger brother Edgardo was trying out for them and playing for them. And long story short, basically the Royals, gave him a chance. It was kind of an afterthought. It was kind of a favor. And Freddie more or less said, hey, if I don't make it, I'll give you the money back. And obviously Freddie has more than made it. But he came from as close to nothing in the baseball world as it gets and has turned himself into a really, really good major league catcher that is now going to help a Padres team that is trying to win their first World Series ever. We saw Freddie not just as a hard worker and not just as an outstanding person in the clubhouse, but someone that could handle a pitching staff really well. Heck, he caught 9 different pitchers in a 10-inning shutout just the other day, and has grown tremendously as a leader as well, learning from Salvi over the last couple of years, especially up close. We're all going to miss Freddie Fermin a ton, and we're all going to root for him literally every single pitch. He is the epitome of what it means to be a Kansas City Royal. And I'm going to miss Freddie a lot, and the Royals are going to miss Freddie a lot. At the same time, like you said, this was a really good trade. It is not too often that if you strip the person, you strip the emotion out of it, it is not too often that you get back two fairly high upside, controllable, potential starting pitchers for a 30-year-old catcher that was not a starting catcher. Now, Freddie Fermin was more than a backup catcher, certainly. But in terms of his role with the Royals over the last couple of years, it was closer to a backup role than it was to a starting role. And so the return for a player like that, again, stripping the person and the emotion out of it completely, that's pretty incredible. And, Ryan Burgess was a top 10 prospect in the Padres organization, and they're considered to have a very good farm system that is now, spread across the rest of baseball after what A.J. Preller did yesterday.
No kidding.
But he's somebody that has a very high ceiling. Steven Kolek has one of the higher ground ball rates in the league. He's been starting this year. He was a reliever last year after he was a Rule 5 pick, but he can certainly start. These are two really interesting arms that can help the Royals not just this year, but going forward too. And I think that was the big focus at the deadline for the Royals. It was raising the floor of the team now and also acquiring talent that is controllable and can help raise the floor and ceiling of this team for 2026 and beyond.
I think it was the perfect balance. I mean, you laid it out there. I mean, everybody can look at who they wanted them to trade for or not trade for, who they wanted them to sell off or whatever, but I think they did a great job as a front office of helping this team incrementally improve in 25. And then, as you said, Burgert in particular is probably the player I'm most excited about in terms of upside. And with their track record here recently of getting pitchers to tweak a few things and work with Brian Sweeney and then really increase the potential opportunity of who they can become as a big league pitcher. Ryan Burgert, where do you see him, like, I guess in 25 slotting in? Is the expectation that next week, part of this road trip, Burgert could be making a start? Could Kolek be making a start? How do you think that plays out?
I mean, to be honest, I think we'll see both of them making starts at certain points, especially with the starting pitching injuries that the Royals have had lately. Right now, the Royals have two open spots in the rotation. I would imagine one of them kind of goes to Burgert or Kolek. One of them goes to Bailey Falter. We'll see when Michael Lorenzen comes back. We'll see when Cole Reagans comes back. We'll see what happens when this team is at full strength, like they hope to be soon. But I would not be surprised to see all three of those pitchers in, you know, different roles. I think Bailey Falter is more of a lock to be one of those in the rotation, given his experience and the fact that he's already made 22 starts for the Pirates this year and put up a 3.73 ERA. Like, he's having a pretty solid season. He's arguably having his best season as a big leaguer right now. And he's somebody that I find kind of intriguing, not just because he's a lefty, and we've seen what the Royals have done with lefties like Cole Reagans and Chris Bubich and Noah Cameron over the last couple of years, but also because Brian Sweeney was his pitching coach in Single-A back in 2017. So there's a prior relationship there and a prior trust there. And that was arguably Bailey Falter's best season as a pro before this year. You know, he had a 2.99 ERA that season in the minor leagues. And yes, it was Single-A, but there's something to be said about when you have success with a pitching coach and vice versa. That trust is a big factor. And so I think Bailey Falter is a really interesting acquisition. And the one thing that I really love that the Royals were able to do in threading the needle is that the Royals raised the floor of the team without giving up all that much. You know, when you look at it, you know, kind of X's and O's. There was only one, you know, consensus top 30 prospect that was traded. That was Junior Marte, who was in low A Columbia. And Callan Moss was another minor leaguer. And then if you look at the totality, you gave up Cam Devaney for Adam Frazier. You gave up Andrew Hoffman for Randall Grichuk. You know, two guys that were mostly in AAA this year and not necessarily in the big league this year. So I think all told, when you look at the totality of what J.J. Piccolo and his staff did at the trade deadline, you look at the players they acquired and the players they traded away, you can't look at this objectively and think that it's anything other than a resounding success for what the Royals were trying to do.
Am I the only person who thinks it's funny that the Giants traded for Junior Marte, knowing that they had a Junior Marte 2 years ago? I don't know why I think that's funny. Like, what do you got with – what do you like Junior Marte so much for? It's small, Jake, but outside of that. But let's talk about the team itself. We know losing Freddie Freeman, very popular player inside the clubhouse, had to have effect. I'm sure it was really hard on Salvi, someone that they've gotten really close with. But I would assume inside the clubhouse, the idea that instead of selling something that they certainly had to think was plausible 2 weeks ago and certainly saw all the headlines suggesting the fact that Lugo could be gone, some of them could be gone, any of the normal stuff, and instead buy, I mean, you know, like it feels like going into a big series against the best team in the American League or the second best team in the American League, depending on how you face it, you got to be feeling you got like a renewed energy. They said they have belief in you.
Yeah, and I think that started with Seth Lugo's extension. I don't know that that was something that was confirmed or denied or changed yesterday. I think the feeling inside the clubhouse and where the Royals were was more established when they decided to extend Seth Lugo and Seth decided to, you know, sign that extension and, you know, take himself off the trade market. And that erased a lot of uncertainty, if there even was any. I'm not really sure internally how much uncertainty there was or wasn't, but I think having Seth Lugo sign that extension and having ownership, you know, support signing Seth Lugo to that extension kind of showed the Royals inside the clubhouse and should show Royals fans where this team is and where they are capable of going.
Yeah, I just really view it, and I kind of agree with that sense of it. I guess where do you think the Royals are team-wise now? You think their offense is obviously playing better. When Cags is healthy, does he come back to right field? Is another effort to do it, and then they just move Yastrzemski around? Where do you think they are offensive flow-wise? Because we know the guys at the top of the order, but what do they do now with the additional names and the names that could come back?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question because you now have Randall Grichuk, who's mostly played right field. You have Mike Yastrzemski, who's played almost exclusively right field for the Giants this year, and both have been fairly solid as right fielders, and you could see that turning into sort of a soft platoon, but they also could both, you know, get relative everyday at-bats depending upon matchups. You know, you look at the profile, and Mike Yastrzemski is an established left-handed hitter that, you know, has been solid getting on base and plays a solid defensive right field, and, you know, where that leaves Jack Caglione is interesting. You know, I do think, you know, as of right now, he's still on the injured list, has not gone out on a rehab assignment yet. J.J. Piccolo did mention yesterday that it's only a month from now that rosters expand. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on as well. You know, I think when everybody's healthy, you know, I'm going to stop short of saying anything in either direction because J.J. also reminded us yesterday, you know, we were having a conversation back in late May, early June, I think it was, when Noah Cameron got off to such an incredible start. It was
the six-man rotation.
Where's Noah Cameron going to pitch? What's the rotation going to look like? And, you know, think about that now, you know, from where we are today, where Cole Reagans has been out since the beginning of June. Chris Bubich is out for the rest of the season. Michael Lorenzen is currently injured. And so, you know, Ned Yost also used to say that these sorts of decisions have ways of taking care of themselves. Maybe not how you expect or maybe not how you want. So I'm going to refrain from making any sort of prognostications. The one thing I will say is that they're good problems to have, and they're problems that good teams have more than bad teams. And I think that's the big takeaway, is that when you have a lot of good players that you're trying to find playing time for, you can put them in better positions for success. And having those good problems is a sign that the Royals are a better team than maybe their one game under 500 record right now suggests that they are.
Jake Eisenberg joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, this is a little bit looking ahead to the future as well, but you know the minute Freddie Fremien was traded, immediately a lot of people started thinking, okay, Carter Jensen. Now, that's not the move they're making right now. I guess there is still a chance at some point this year we see him. What have you heard? What do you know about what Carter Jensen's been doing so far in AAA, and do you think there is a chance, whether it's injury-wise or if performance needs dictates it, could Carter Jensen now be on a faster track?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's going to be on a faster track, but if I'm not mistaken, he's the only other catcher that is currently on the 40-man roster. Or actually, I'm sorry, he's not on the 40-man roster. So actually, I'm not sure that the Royals have another catcher on the 40-man roster. I got to double-check that off the top of my head, but that is something that I would not be surprised if the Royals did, just to make sure they had somebody. I don't know if it's going to be Carter Jensen or who else that might be, but if there is an injury, obviously they're going to need to have somebody else. I'll answer your actual question. I've only heard incredible things about what Carter Jensen's done, not just in Double A this year, but certainly once he's gotten to Triple A, he's definitely flashed, I think, more power than people were expecting. And we saw him handle himself extraordinarily maturely during spring training this year. It was his first big league camp. You know, you would have not realized that, you know, walking into that clubhouse. It was kind of as if he had been in that clubhouse for at least a couple of years. At least that's the way that I kind of felt about it. And, you know, lest we forget, Carter Jensen is 21 years old, you know, closer to 22 than 21, but he's 21 years old in AAA right now as a top 100 prospect in baseball. And whether it's, you know, later this season or certainly, you know, conversations in spring training next year, you know, Carter Jensen is on the precipice of becoming a part of this team and certainly looks to be a big part of the future of this team.
For what it's worth, I looked it up. The only two guys on the 40-man roster are catcher or Salvador Perez and Luke Maley.
So there you go. I don't know if that's going to tell you that there's going to be any sort of move that's made, but there certainly could be at some point if necessary, just to make sure that you have some coverage.
Jake, we appreciate you calling in, man. Enjoy the road trip. Enjoy the broadcast tonight, and we'll check in next Friday.
All right. Sounds good, guys.